To the world, the preaching of the cross is foolishness, but to those of us that are saved, it's the power of God. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." There's no other place to look but to Christ for salvation. And we are, as a church, we're duty-bound, we're under obligation, as ministers of the gospel, being called out to be ministers of the gospel. I believe a man must be called to preach. We are called upon to preach the cross, to lift up Jesus before a lost and a dying world, to be just like John the Baptist and just like the apostles. And we just to be an index finger, just to point people to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. I'm thankful for a sacrificial atonement that was made at Calvary to atone for the sins of the world. I'm glad that Jesus died and tasted death for every man. I'm glad that we have an atonement. I'm thankful that we have a propitiation. If we sin, we've got an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is a propitiation not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. What a blessing it is for us to lift up the cross. Lift up Jesus, who hung on the cross, who took our place. He paid the sin debt for us. Jesus Christ, there on the cross of Calvary, made a sacrificial atonement for your sins, for my sins, for the sins of the whole world. And I'm thankful that I can preach a Jesus that saves. We can lift up the cross, and I believe there's power in the cross. There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of folks that don't understand things regarding the drawing of the Lord, the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm convinced that Jesus Christ always honors His Word. And when Jesus is lifted up, when the gospel is preached, see, there's good news. We have good news. Jesus died for you. That's good news. I was preaching a revival a few years ago in Bowling Green, Kentucky. A 60-some-odd-year-old woman fell between the seats in the back after I got through preaching and a message entitled, "Jesus Died for You." After she got saved, she started testifying of the saving grace of God and said she had gone all of her life, knew that Jesus went to the cross, knew that Jesus had been resurrected, celebrated Christmas and Easter. But she said, "Preacher, all of my 60-some-odd years, nobody has told me that Jesus died for me." Well, listen, folks, Jesus died for you. Died to save you and redeem you. That's the good news. There's atonement for you. There's the forgiveness of sin. And we need to be preaching the blessed message that Jesus gave the church to preach. We need to preach the gospel. I still believe, like Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Amen. From the Jew first and also the Greek. And so we preach the cross. I believe it's important for us to preach the cross, because you'll never be saved without the shed blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other atonement. There's no other way that your sin debt can be canceled apart from the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Paul said, "Neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So when we go to church, we need to hear preaching about Jesus. Jesus! Jesus saves, amen? He died on the cross. He resurrected on the third day. He ascended to glory. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and He's coming again in power and great glory. We need to lift up Jesus. And so when you go to church, you need to hear about Jesus. When you go to church, you need to hear about Jesus saving men from their sins. It's unfortunate today that a lot of folks are raised up in church, never hear that they need to be saved. Paul wrote to the young minister Timothy in the third chapter, verse 16. He said, this is a faithful saying. In other words, he said, this is what we frequently teach. This is what we frequently say. This is what we advocate. This is something that's well accepted in the church of the true living God. This is a true and faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ died for sinners. Yes, died for sinners, came to save sinners. That's what they preach. That's what we preach, that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Listen, my friend, if you're lost and undone, you need to look to the cross. If you're trusting in something that you have done, if you're trusting in a moral life, that's not good enough. If you're trusting in your upbringing, there's a lot of folks today that think that they are Christians simply because they are American citizens.
That doesn't constitute Christianity. Amen. Christians are born from above. Christians have drank of the living water. Like we read in John chapter 4 when that woman was at that well. And Jesus said, if you would ask of me, I would have given you living water. And she asked, and praise God, she got that living water that Jesus told her she could have as a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You got to have that to be a Christian. You got to have that new birth that the Bible talks about. You got to be made alive. You got to be quickened. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 and said, you who were dead in trespasses and in sin in times past, walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, and were among them having your conversation according to the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. But God, who is rich in mercy, with his great love wherein he loved us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All of us go through a transformation from a state of darkness to a state of light. Jesus said that would happen, that we'd move from a state of death to a state of light. John chapter 5, verse 24, he said this, Jesus said, these are the words of Jesus Christ. You can look it up in your Bible. I'm a preacher, all right? Man, I had a good day yesterday. Oh, me. I was able to go back to the place where the Lord saved me, where I met my wife, where I was baptized. I was baptized by the authority of Fellowship Missionary Baptist Church by Elder Calvin Perrigo. I thank God for that. Thank God for my upbringing. Went back to the place where I heard the good news. The good news that Jesus died for me. That Jesus came to save me. That Jesus could wash my sins away. And I was able to go back to that place and I go back to the place where I owned my call to preach. The place where I stood for the very first time. I preached from the 24th chapter of Matthew. That the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. And the place that where they ordained me to the full work of the ministry. The place where I was married. And stand once again. And I'd ask the Lord. I don't know how you folks feel about prayer, but man, God hears me when I pray. He doesn't just hear me. He answers my prayers. But I was able to go back to that place. Listen, you've got to have a Bethel where you meet the Lord. Where it all began for you. Where your sins were washed away in the precious blood of the Lamb. He washed us, amen. He washed us in his own blood. Jesus said, he said this, that when that happens, it's like moving from a state of spiritual death to a state of spiritual life. He said, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but passes from a state of death into a state of life. Listen, folks, if you've never gone through the new birth, if you've never been born from above, if you've not drank of the living water, I believe the church, I believe the bride of Christ is saying, come. All ye that are thirsty, come. Yeah, he that heareth says, come. Come and drink, and whosoever will. Yes, I believe whosoever will means whosoever will. Whosoever will can come and drink of the water of life freely. Amen. Yes. Salvation is available for you today. You can call upon the Lord. And you can't get saved unless you call on the Lord. The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, you're going to have to respond to the gospel message. You're going to have to respond to the invitation. You're going to have to respond to the Spirit of God. You're going to have to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need to move toward God. And when you move toward God, God will move toward you. Jesus stood there on the shores. He looked out at the people. He looked at all the crowds, the masses of people, as sheep having no shepherd. And he said unto them, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. And all of you that want to have your sins relieved, have the burdens lifted, come unto me and I will give you rest. Praise God. we have that accessibility to the precious blood of Jesus Christ. There has to be a point in time in your life, listen to me, where your sin debt is moved off you and it is laid on Jesus as He hung there on the cross of Calvary, bleeding and dying, bearing your sin debt. Listen, He needs to be a sacrificial atonement for you. It needs to be applied to your account where you can be justified. And the only way you can be justified is to be justified by faith. Amen. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Well, I preached yesterday, so I about lost my voice. I'm going to preach again until I lose if I need to. Listen, folks, what a blessing it is to be here today and to hear the preaching of the cross. People lifting up Jesus in voice and in song and in sermon. Isn't that wonderful? And in their testimonies. I heard some wonderful testimonies yesterday. You know, before I got up and preached, there were folks who were just getting up saying, I got saved here. Another person got up and said, I got saved here. There's a young man in the front seat. He got up and said, I got saved here. And, you know, I just followed that and got up in the pulpit, started saying my sermon by saying, I got saved here. Listen, I want you to know that this tear-stained altar has been a good place for people to find the Lord. They've come down to this the aisle. They humble themselves. Listen, you want to experience God, you're going to have to humble yourself. The Bible says in the book of James that God resisteth the proud but giveth grace to the humble. Yes, the psalmist said in Psalms 34, he said, the Lord God Almighty, He is not only with those that are humble, but saveth such as of a contrite and humble spirit. Listen, if you want to be saved, you're going to have to humble yourself. Nobody has ever been saved without repentance. It was the sermon of John the Baptist when he came out of the wilderness of Judea and he preached. Turn there in Mark chapter 1. In Mark chapter 1, he came out of the wilderness of Judea and said, repent! Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And those folks that repented of their sins, he baptized them in the river of Jordan. And he baptized them because they had experienced the remission of sins. Amen? Yes, they experienced the remission of sins because they were believing and trusting in the Messiah that was coming. Praise God, all we do today is simply trust in the Messiah that's coming, turning from sin, and we also can have our sins remitted. In Acts chapter 10, verse 43. Peter said when he went to the house of Cornelius, he said, you know what, I'm persuaded that any person from any nation can get this. Yeah, he said unto him, Jesus gave all the prophets witness that whosoever believeth in him shall receive the remission of sins. Praise God, we can have our sin debt canceled. Like we read in Colossians chapter 2, we can experience the circumcision of the heart. Listen, folks, if God takes the knife of the Holy Spirit and circumcises your soul, you'll know it. These folks that go forward and join a church and want to become part of the body of Christ, you can't join the church and be part of the body of Christ. You have no business going into the waters of baptism till you have died to sin and been made alive unto God. Amen? Amen. I mean, that's what the symbolism is. Water baptism is a symbol of dying to sin, being made alive unto God. I know we need to pray, but I can't stop. In Colossians chapter 2, he talks about that. And listen, folks, water baptism is closely, well, it's so closely relative and related to salvation. A lot of people get confused and think that they can get saved by going into the waters of baptism. No, you got to have the blood before you go into the water. You have to be a child of God. You have to be saved before you join the church and be baptized. This act of baptism, it's an act of worship. It's an act of dedication. It's an act of loyalty. It's an act of commission, of committing ourselves to the doctrines and the teachings of Christ. It's a commitment to the cause of Jesus Christ. And people go into the waters of baptism and they unite with the Lord's church and they become identified with the body of Christ. They say, I'm one of those followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe His death atones. His resurrection brings life. And they believe there's going to be a resurrection of the dead. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said, why did you get baptized if you don't believe in the resurrection of the just and the unjust? Why would you ever go into the waters of baptism if you didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that's what Paul said. Listen, we believe that the Lord's coming and He's going to raise the dead, the just and the unjust, that every person, every body in the grave is going to hear His voice, and those that hear His voice shall live. Amen? Paul said in Ephesians, he said, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them that sleep, that you sorrow not even as others, which have no hope. Man, we got hope, don't we? This baptismal act's not just an act of worship, but it's an act of anticipation. It's an act of imitation. We're imitating the Lord. You look there in Mark chapter 1. You look in Matthew chapter 3. Jesus Christ walked 70 miles to be baptized by the only one that had the authority to do the baptizing. And it was John. The surname what he had was Baptist. He was John the Baptist. He had heavenly authorization. I mean, even Jesus asked the Pharisees and Sadducees in Matthew chapter 21, John's baptism, was it from earth or was it from heaven? I'll tell you where it was from heaven. He was divinely appointed. He was divinely authorized. He was divinely commissioned. Had to go out and take those folks that were saved and baptize them, preparing them for the coming of the Lord. That's exactly what He did. He came out of the wilderness of Judea, and it was a great spectacle. I mean, a great spectacle. John the Baptist was out there, and he was putting people, he was burying people in the river of Jordan. Even Jesus Christ walked 70 miles and came to John. John says, look, I need to be baptized of you. And Jesus said, suffer it to be so to fulfill all righteousness. And John suffered him. The Bible says in Mark chapter 1, they went into the water and they came up out of the water. And it was a burial, and that's what Paul said on several occasions, Colossians chapter 2, being buried with him, verse 12, Colossians 2, verse 12, being buried with him and being raised with him. They went into a liquid grave. It symbolizes the buried death and burial of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him coming out of the grave. They went into the water. They came up out of the water. Actually, it wasn't that John baptized them in Jordan. The Greek is, ice can be into Jordan. Into Jordan. Baptized them into the Jordan. And as Jesus came up out of that water, a dove, oh, it was the Holy Ghost. That's why we got a dove up here. A dove. First thing he saw as his face broke the water was the Holy Ghost in the form of a dove came and landed on him. I mean, God the Father spoke out of heaven and people heard Him. Listen, if God speaks to you orally, other people hear it. Right? Paul on the road to Damascus, yes, he heard the Lord speak to him, but also everybody else was with him heard something too. God, the Father, and everybody around there on the banks of Jordan River, they heard God say, this is My Son in whom I am well pleased. Praise God. If you want to live a life pleasing to the Lord, if you want to enter into that place of peace, if you want to enter into that blessedness that the church gets to experience and to enjoy, you need to not only be saved, but you need to unite with the Lord's church. follow the Lord Jesus in baptism. Jesus Himself. Now listen, folks. Listen to me good. Jesus Christ was already the Son of God when He was baptized.
Amen.
It did not make Him the Son of God. You might say, well, look there in Mark chapter 1. Wasn't John baptizing like for repentance? Well, sure he was. Sure he was. People are arrested for stealing. Right? Right? They're arrested for stealing. They're arrested because they stole. And that's what was happening here. People were being baptized because their sins had been remitted. Yeah. Yeah. You're not arrested in order to steal. That'd be ludicrous. Yeah. Praise God. We know what the Bible teaches. And I hope and pray that you'll understand these blessed truths about baptism, about the Lord's Supper. It's a glorious ordinance. We're going to have a baptism today. We're going to have a baptism today. Isn't that wonderful? Somebody's going into the liquid grave and committing their lives to the Lord. They're coming up, you know, to walk in newness of life, to follow the Lord, to follow the theological principles that the Lord left, to do what the Word of God has said, to be part of the glorious communion and fellowship. It's part of this fellowship. I mean, not only were they saved and baptized, and that's what happened when they were saved. They got baptized. And listen, friend, I'm going to say it again. We don't believe in baptismal regeneration. Now, in a figurative way, it washes away your sins. Like we read, where Ananias, you know, said to Paul in Acts chapter 22, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. He was a persecutor of the church. In other words, when you come out from among the world after you get saved and you commit yourself to following the Lord Jesus Christ, going through the waters of baptism erases your past. You become a part of the church of the true and living God. Amen. We put all that stuff behind you, that past way of life. You put it behind you. And Paul went from a persecutor of the church to a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wow. Perhaps we've not put enough emphasis on baptism. I believe people, and you know, one of the reasons we've not put enough emphasis upon it is because people have gotten confused. They think it really, literally washes away their sins. That's not true. 1 Peter 3:21. It's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but a good conscience toward God that you're following the Lord. Amen. It doesn't cleanse you of sin. There's only one thing that can cleanse you of sin, and it's the blessed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Yeah. John the Baptist. He had authority from heaven. In the 28th chapter of Matthew, we are given, the church is given a law. Okay? We are given a law. This is the executive order of Jesus Christ in His kingdom to His church. To go, teach all nations, making disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Listen, we can't change that law. It'll stand till the Lord comes back. As long as the church is in the world, we have no right to alter it or change it in any way. We go out and we tell people about the cross of Calvary and about Jesus dying for them. They get saved. They become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the church has been authorized, and the church only has been authorized to carry out the Grand Commission. Now look, folks, you need the right administrator with the right authority, using the right mode, okay, saying the right thing in order for it to be scriptural baptism that links back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything short of that is unbiblical. Anything short of that doesn't count. Amen? It just doesn't count. Now, I know, you know, everything's gotten loose nowadays. It's unfortunate everything's loose. Well, I mean, the whole world's just gone crazy. Everything's loose. Marriage is loose. Precious morality is, people are loose in their morals. everything. The church, a lot of churches have gotten loose. They're just letting any kind of baptism count. No, that doesn't work, okay? We believe that you need to be baptized like Jesus was baptized. That you need to be saved first. That there needs to be the right authority and the right administrator. Oh, well, anyway, this glorious thing. What a glorious thing. You know, I'm about done. When you enter in among the people of God, oh, part of the fellowship, part of the promises. What a blessing that is. Isn't it a blessing? The promises that have been made to the church. I mean, the church has promises that nobody else receives or has. We have glorious promises. You enter into this fellowship of being part of the body of Christ. I believe there's special blessings and special promises that are on the church that you cannot experience in your life nor in the life of your family unless you're part of the church. Amen? The blessings used to be so strong in the ecclesia. Okay? Anybody who was cut off from those blessings because of sin would fall on their face and get right with God so they could get back in the blessing. Now we've lost some of that. Come on now. That's why church discipline doesn't work as good as it used to. Ah, the blessings to be part of the family of God. But the blessings to be part of the church. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Part of the bride of Christ. The blessings associated with that. So this baptism today is going to be an act of worship, an act of imitation, doing what Jesus did, an act of celebration of her death to sin and resurrection and new life, an anticipation of the resurrection to come. Amen? I mean, it's an inauguration. It's a threshold into this special group that Jesus left behind that He calls His church. He said this in the 16th chapter of Matthew. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And He has built His church. His church is here. It's keeping His ordinances. It's keeping His laws and His mandates. We are teaching and preaching His doctrine. We're teaching and preaching His kerygma, the things that He declared, we declare. We consider them commandments and part of our life. We are following Him. We're walking behind Him, walking in His footsteps. We're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a blessing that is to be part of that glorious group. We're going to pray. And then we're going to have the baptizing. And I want us to get on the altar. I want us to come to the altar and just have an altar prayer. All at will. I want you to pray at your seat. What a blessing it is to be saved. To be part. Are you glad you're saved? Yeah. I mean, aren't you glad to be part of the church? Aren't you glad that you came under the influence of the church? Now, I believe this. I believe that everybody that's saved, though they may not have gotten saved by the direct influence of the Lord's church, they have been saved by an indirect influence of the Lord's church. Everybody. Even people that get saved in other denominations. Yeah. Because it's our commitment to soundness and truth that we declare that it kind of trickles into the other places and other denominations. And you used to do it more than what it is today, but it used to trickle into other denominations and influence other people, and the Spirit would work with that and save people. And But I want you to pray about something. I want you to search your heart about your baptism. I mean, this thing, there's a personal aspect to this, amen? You got to make sure that your baptism is right. I mean, you have an obligation, a duty to do what God's Word has said. Jesus came, He tells us what to do, and then you need to read His Word, and you need to figure some things out and nail some things down. And you need to conform your life to Jesus rather than Jesus conforming to you. See? I want you to search your heart and your life. And listen, you have an obligation to test and examine your baptism as it is in the Bible and make sure you have valid, authentic baptism. You need to search the Scriptures. Check your salvation. That's what I do. I look in the Bible to find out if my salvation, that I'm not deceived myself or somebody's deceived me, I make sure that my salvation aligns with Holy Scripture. Amen? And it does. Praise God. I got that. What Jesus was talking about. I've got that new birth. I know about that water. I had a drink this morning. I know about that. And you need to do the same. And listen, whatever wrong is in your life, you gotta do what's right. Amen? You gotta look at your life and look at the Bible, and then you've got an obligation to obey God. And so as we come in the altar, all that will, come in the altar, let's pray. If there's something not right in your life, I want to encourage you to get it right. If you need to be saved, get saved. If your church membership's not right, then, you know, I've talked to people that are members of churches, and I've asked them, well, do you believe that? And I don't even believe what my church believes and practices. And I'm like, why are you a member of something that, you know, you don't even believe is true? You know, your participation and your commitment and your baptism is a reflection that you're saying that this group of people that I'm part of, they preach the truth. They know God. They uphold Scripture. They're following the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord resides with them. That's what you're saying by your very presence and by your participation and by your commitment. Little Aaron's going to say that in just a few minutes. This is the group that's following the Lord. This is the group I want to be part of. This is the group that I'm committed to. Wow. And so I'm thankful for her salvation and the salvation. We're going to have another baptism next Sunday. You know? Listen, if your baptism isn't right, then just get it right. Swallow your pride and get it right. Amen? Listen, you're not going to be the first that's gone through it more than once to get it right.